You are listening to TRC Unleashed.
Working out of the gun, steps up in the pocket under pressure, fumbles it on a cloudy sack, dive forward around the 20. It's a scramble. Call it.
Carolina ball. Carolina ball.
J.D. Clowney waited to the fourth with 1:08 to go, but the play of the day, sack, turnover.
Well, they're saying that now. They look like they may be talking, but they initially called, both officials called it Carolina's ball, and I guess that's what it is.
The man who comes up from the bottom of the pile is Quinn. No, make that Shaq Wilson. First down, Gamecocks. They take over.
Gamecock Nation, welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 35. I'm your host, Buck. I am joined by T-Bone and the G-Man, as usual. And we are going to be talking a little bit about the Tennessee game from yesterday. And as everyone who is a Gamecock knows, it was a win, but it was a really, really bad day for the Gamecocks. You know, the 38-35 win, and thank God we won that game. I'm not sure how deep and down and depressed I would have gotten if we hadn't actually won the game. That put a little salve on the wound, I guess. But let's just go ahead and talk about what happened to Marcus yesterday. 4:45 left to go in the second quarter. He takes a handoff and plants his right foot after getting by a defender or two and gets held up. One guy hits him high, one guy hits him low. And as I put in my blog post this morning, I was kind of scrambling around getting ready to go to a youth football game. So I was watching as much as I could, and I was back in the bedroom and I saw the play live. And if you never want to ever see that play again, then you don't have to do this. But if you go back and watch the play live, the play ends, and I think the ball comes free, and a Tennessee guy picks it up after the whistle and starts to run, and they pan away from the crowd. But as they're panning, you can see Marcus just grab his leg, and you just know something is not right. Things weren't pointing in the right direction, and I was like, oh, man, please don't let that be what I think I just saw. And then, of course, they came back, and I still have not watched a replay. I don't plan to ever watch a replay. You know, maybe 20 years from now, I'll take a look at it. But it made for a pretty depressing day and morning. And then today, Steve Spurrier said that it was a dislocation, and he didn't give us much more, but he told us that Marcus having a football career down the road is still an option, which T-Bone, you said it yesterday. When you see an injury of that magnitude, you can even go to places such as, you know, maybe he could lose his leg.
I know. I was thinking along those same lines because I actually did see it. You know, you couldn't really walk past ESPN yesterday without them playing that clip over right. and over and over again. So I've seen it a dozen times, and you notice more about it every time you watch it. But there was I'd even hesitate to really describe the way it looks, but when he is rolling over after he's been hit and his entire body goes over and then his lower leg comes a half second too late, you know, over with him.
Right.
And at the time I'm thinking, I hope he walks.
Right. You're thinking,
you know, that's what it looks like. I hope the guy can walk. It's amazing what they can do apparently with these situations. But it must have really, because the word came out officially just moments ago as we're recording this, that there's nothing broken.
Right.
And it was just a injury to, as it says in the press release, injury to several ligaments.
Right.
It must have just literally knocked it out of the knee socket and tore, you know, the ligaments in there. So it sounds horribly painful. But your feeling was kind of mine, is you saw the look in his face, and you saw kind of the look of disbelief and the color drain out of his eyes, or out of his face. And then when they start putting the towel over his head and you see his chest quaking.
Right, right.
You know, it's a low point. I mean, you know it's a low point for them. You saw the players walking off with just disbelief. There's a picture out there of Kenny Miles, you know, with tears in his eyes. It was incredible, incredibly bad, but incredible.
Yeah, G-Man, you were at the game, and I think if you still got the same season tickets you've always had, which I believe you do, the play happened on your side of the field, didn't it?
It did. It was right in front of me. But I couldn't really tell, looking at it, you know, what happened. I mean, you can't, from my vantage point, I saw it from the side, and, you know, I saw him get hit, and I saw him stop. And then, I immediately saw people around him. And I'm in the west lower, about 30 rows up. So I mean, I had a pretty good vantage point. But you really couldn't tell from that there had been an injury immediately. But you knew pretty soon after that there had been an injury, and then you also knew pretty soon after that it was pretty bad by the way they reacted to him. I have still not seen the video. I have been purposefully avoiding it every chance I could get. Anytime it comes on, you think they're gonna get to it, I turn the channel. I just don't really don't want to see it. I've seen enough of those injuries in my football watching career, and I'm pretty confident I know what happened. I just really don't want to put myself through that. I mean, after being there and live and watching the atmosphere, I mean, it was pretty incredible atmosphere there at the game when it happened. I mean, it was pretty evident almost immediately that it was a severe knee injury. And the players reacted, the staff reacted, people were running around like crazy, getting out there to him, and then of course afterwards, it was a very emotional scene when the team went out there around him. Some of his close friends were there. I mean, Nick Jones, you could tell that he was very upset. A. Sanders was there next to him. He was very upset. Miles, as people have mentioned. Then the Tennessee team came out as well, which I thought was a real classy move. I think everybody knows who Marcus Lattimore is and knows he's one of the best football players and, just college football representatives in the country. And they all came out there, and that was a pretty emotional scene for everybody in the stadium. I mean, it just hushed up really, really quiet. And it was just a surreal moment there for a while.
Yeah, I can imagine. It was, even Jen Brown, in one of her later reports, said that she was back in the locker room with Lattimore and Lattimore's mom, and said they were just, hugging each other and crying. And Jen said she actually got emotional back there, too, watching that scene. So, just a horrible thing to happen, but a pretty amazing response from the entire sporting world over the course of the last 24 hours. He has gotten tweets from, anywhere from LeBron James to tons of other college athletes, pro athletes. They're actually holding a rally for him tomorrow at 5:00 on campus, and Spurrier's going to be there. President Pastitas is going to be there. And they're actually going to stream the rally to his hospital room. I mean, I've never...
It's incredible. I've never heard of that.
No, never heard of anything like that. So, there's so many layers to this. And you don't want to compare it to, people talk about where you were when Kennedy was shot. You don't want to compare it to a national tragedy, but you just get the feeling that people are going to be talking about this for years and years, and what their reaction was. And because, Marcus Lattimore has meant so much more to this, to the University of South Carolina than just being a football player. And,
there's so much you could say about that. You could say that first Georgia game his freshman year, that he changed the way we look at our team.
Right.
With just that not going to stop attitude. And then, he's not like a lot of players out there that are great players. I'm not going to badmouth anybody in particular, but you know, that have to sit out a couple of games because they can't follow the rules or get into trouble or around trouble. There's just no hint of that with this guy. One thing that just in passing I'll note is a comment I made before the injury. After his touchdown run, I turned around and looked at no one in particular because I was in a room by myself. I sometimes do that in close games. But I said, he's back, baby. He's fully back. Because the way he hit that hole and ran, oh, it just looks so good.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if it was the next time he touched the ball. It may have been the next time he touched the ball when he got hurt.
It was definitely ironic that it happened after that run because that run looked like vintage Lattimore.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Florida run down in the swamp a couple years ago. Same kind of play.
Yeah. Well, one thing about just following up what you said about the national impact of this. I mean, I think it's safe to say that that Lattimore has single-handedly put us on the map nationally. Well, Spurrier, I guess, and Lattimore, but as a player, he is the one guy before Clowney came along who put us on the map. I mean, everybody in the United States who follows college football knows who Marcus Lattimore is. I mean, right. He is a national player. I mean, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate immediately after coming back this year after suffering a major knee injury. Everybody, you know, generally recognizes him as the best or one of the top three or four best running backs in the country, even after his last year's injury. You know, just random things that, you know, I saw a quote by Mark Murray, who's the Cowboys starting tailback, said, I'm sorry to see the best running back in college football go down. I mean, that's how people think about him. And that's, you know, like John Saunders used his parting shot on the sports reporters today talking about this. I mean, it's a national story. He is a nationally known guy. And, you know, it's really pretty incredible that the attention it's gotten. But it's just all a credit to him and the type of guy he is. If he's obviously a tremendous football player, but everybody pretty much realizes that he's a special human being in addition to being a absolute fantastic football player. And, you know, it's just an incredible situation. I think you're right. I think we'll be talking about this for a long time. And, you know, the credit all goes a lot more. Yeah, he's hurt. He's down. But, you know, he's still a stud. He's still the best, you know, that potentially we've ever had here. And this doesn't diminish any – take anything away from what he's done or his legacy, even if he never plays another down at USC.
Yeah, and not to jump on Buck's turn, but one more thing there. Head coach said something today in his coaching show that I didn't think I would ever hear Spurrier say. He said it was a good win for the team, but he'd give the win back if he could have Marcus healthy.
Yeah.
You think about a competitor like Steve Spurrier, a guy that says, nah, you're hurt. That's part of football. Put the next guy in there.
Yeah.
That speaks to the impact that Lattimore's had on the people around him.
Yeah. That's a big deal for Steve Spurrier to say something like that. So let's talk a little bit about, and you know, we're, like I said, we're 24 hours away from this thing, you know, even speculating on what's going to happen in the next year, 2 years, or 3 years is kind of silly, but we got to talk about something. So let's talk about that. we got to fill some time here. In Spurrier's post game, and I mentioned this in my blog post this morning too. He said, you know, Marcus is going to succeed at whatever, you know, whatever he does in life. And I thought that was really ominous when he said that. And I took that as, this is a really bad injury. And, you know, I thought to myself and I wrote that I don't care if he never suits up for South Carolina again. I really don't. And I don't care if he plays in the NFL. I hope he does. The ideal situation to me for Marcus Lattimore, as if he would listen to my advice, is to rehab all the way through 2013 and just enter the 2014 draft.
Yep.
And don't even bother with college football anymore. He doesn't owe us anything. And I know that would raise a million questions with NFL scouts as far as, well, can he take a hit? Well, can he this? Well, can he that? But somebody will take a flyer on him. You know, people were saying he'd probably slip to the late first, early second round. in the 2013 draft, and I would imagine even if he came back at the same speed and the same strength, that this injury will probably drop him to the middle rounds, 4 or 5. But I would rather him do that for his sake than come back and risk anything at South Carolina again.
Yeah, he's on schedule, I think, to actually graduate in December. Yeah. I read that somewhere. And so, I mean, he can graduate. He can concentrate on his rehab. He can, you know, basically take the next year and devote it entirely to that. And you'd brought up the point, and you brought this up earlier in some of our discussions. Wouldn't it be nice if he does go that route, if, you know, in some game, whoever we play next year, the Citadel, South Carolina State or something, if he could suit up and take a snap, you know,
right?
That'd be an awesome thing. And, you know, we're writing him off here. I don't want to write him off this quickly because I'm sure there's a part of him and a part of those close to him that say, I'm going to be back and I'm going to be back as good as ever. Heck, they mentioned today he's got a redshirt year. You know, but I'm kind of like you. I don't even want him to take it. I think he's proven what he needs to prove to us, and I'm ready to see him concentrate on the next step.
Yeah.
But you know what? All that said, and I don't disagree with anything you guys have said, it wouldn't surprise me a bit, one bit, if he was back playing for us at some point.
I mean,
the guy has often been stated, it's often been said that he said that he was going to be here all 4 years. And, you know, and a lot of people said, no, he was going pro after this year. And maybe probably he was. But something in the back of my mind tells me if he's healthy and he get to the point where he can play, I really think he loves this university and this team. And
I'll tell you, if he does that, we just need to start calling him the Gamecock. We just need to call him the Gamecock and quit calling him anything else.
I mean, I'm not saying and I'm not asking him to. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, you know. But you know, we'll see what happens. I think there's a lot to be you know, they don't really know yet what they're dealing with. I'm sure they have an idea of the injury and what it is and all that. But I think there's a lot to be figured out.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, G. And you watched that road trip show that they did the week of the Georgia game. And we've complained a lot over the years that the really good players that come through here don't always come back, don't always support the university. You know, you don't see people like Sterling Sharp, you know, just touting USC when they're on TV or when they have the chance. I mean, occasionally you do, but there's never really seemed to be anybody that is just so into the University of South Carolina and so, you know, love the university so much and were so dedicated to it. And I think Marcus is that guy. I think because when you that road trip show, and it's just a few seconds that you can see it at the end of the Georgia game. And if you don't know the road trip, there's a show called Road Trip. They travel around with game day, I think, to every location and go to local hotspots. And then they go to the game and, you know, tape some segments during the game. And after the game, they're running off the field with Marcus. And he's just so happy that we had just destroyed Georgia. And they're talking to him about, you know, next week at LSU. And he's smiling. He's like, you know, can't wait to get down there. And as they say, all right, thank you for your time, Marcus. And he's running towards the locker room and he looks dead in the camera and he says, go Cox. And there was just look in his eye like, man, that guy loves the University of South Carolina.
Yep.
And he's going to be an ambassador for the university as long as he has a breath in him, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing the outpouring that you've seen since then. So. All right, well, let's get off of that one very, very major topic. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are certainly with Marcus Lattimore and his family. Let's talk a little bit about the game, because the game is just kind of a fog to me. So maybe you guys can fill in some of the gaps.
If it makes you feel any better, I think it was a fog to our defensive backs also.
Yeah, let's start there. How many yards did Tyler Bray wind up passing for yesterday?
A lot.
A lot.
Like 900.
So, and you mentioned it in a fairly early tweet or text. I know T-Bone. What was the defensive back rotation that we had going on yesterday, and why?
Well, I was confused at the time because there was one drive, and I'm trying, you know, like you, it's all a fog, and I haven't paid attention to the game the way I usually do. I usually watch it again and then watch the highlights and everything else. But there was one drive Tennessee had, I guess in the third quarter, early third quarter maybe. And after their touchdown, I look and I see number 12 out there, and I see Swearinger, and then I see somebody wearing 25, and then I start looking for 27 and 15 or 4, and none of them are out there. And I think we played that whole series without any of our cornerbacks. And I know at that point, I think probably Ward and the defensive staff were just trying to figure out a way to do it. And that's when I tweeted, you know, I can't wait to hear the defensive back coach explain what just happened. Well in listening to the post game, Whammy says that he thinks Tennessee's plan was to pick on 15.
Really?
Yeah, he said they were going at 15, and so he said we kept trying to do different personnel groupings to try to get them to get off that. And you know, 15 had a bad game, I guess. But
well, a lot of people are going to have bad games against Justin Hunter.
That's true. And then you had Auguste that was hurt, and although Josh at the State keeps whining about he wasn't on the sidelines, he was on the sidelines. no word yet what he was wearing or whether he was pouting.
Right.
So Josh at the State won't be able to write the story he wants to. But, you know, I still don't really know. You know, that quick passing game, they were on. Bray looked on. You know, he had all kind of time. He didn't even need it. Didn't even take it.
Yeah.
But he had plenty of time.
Say something about. I read about that series, and what they did was they just moved Swearinger to cornerback. I don't think they took Hampton off the field. I think you're wrong about that. Because
oh, really? Yeah.
I think he was in the game. I think Tennessee just made a concerted effort to leave Hampton alone. I think he's considered by everybody our best cover corner. I think they just decided to pick on the other guy. And they tried Legree and they tried Christian. Obviously, Auguste was out. I didn't know it, but he was out. He had aggravated his groin again in practice on Thursday, so he's not even playing. And so I think they tried Legree. They tried Christian to little success. And I think Swearinger's considered, you know, people forget he played some cornerback early.
He did. Yeah.
I think they decided they were better off with him over there trying to be physical on Hunter, so that's what they did at one stretch in the game. I think it was just, we've tried everything, let's try this kind of thing. And and that's what happened, and that's why Swearinger was playing. I didn't realize it at the time, but he was playing cornerback, at least for that one series, on Hunter. And I think it boils down to a couple things. I think it boils down to Tennessee – can obviously pass protect as good as anybody we played all year and maybe as good as anybody in the country. I mean, those guys were great at pass protecting, and Bray, as much as I don't like him, as much as I think he's a punk, is a very good quarterback. I mean, the guy could sling it, and he gets rid of the ball kind of like Peyton Manning. I mean, you see him back there and he moves around. He works his way into a position where he can get rid of the football. And he's effective when he does that, and he can put it where he wants to, without a whole lot of seems like without a whole lot of effort. I mean, the guy, he has NFL written all over him, as far as I'm concerned. Prototypical 6'6", accurate, makes all the throws. The one he threw to that guy Rodgers in the end zone, both of the ones he threw to Rodgers,
yeah,
were just incredible throws. Incredible. The one he threw. I guess it would have been when it made it 20, gave them 21 points. The one he threw where he drug his foot in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. So I think, you know, we can moan and groan about our defensive backs and our lack of pass rush and stuff. And granted, they didn't have their best game, but you got to give some credit to Tennessee. They've had a good offense pretty much all year, and they were clicking. And they made the plays, and, you know, there's nothing we could do about it.
They were clicking, and then, you know, the final two series, we raised our game. Thank goodness. You know?
Yeah, it was, and I did when I got home and I watched the second half, and you know, one long touchdown where Legree got beat, he got his feet tangled and he fell down. So that was, and he was running stride for stride with Hunter on, I think it was Hunter on that play. No, maybe it wasn't. I think it was number 6 or number 8. Can't remember the guy's name, but
it was eight.
He got his feet tangled and he fell down. So that was a little bit flukish. And then the play you're talking about, G, where he just throws that rocket to the sideline in the end zone, and Rodgers drags his foot. There's about 1% of the quarterbacks and receivers in the country can make that play. I mean, that was just, you just got to tip your hat when that happens. So
as far as those guys go, I mean, you don't want to always talk up your opponents and act like, but I mean, I think they're going to win out. I think they're going to be in the Music City Bowl, and I think they'll win that game. I mean, they've lost 5 games now, which is not great, but I mean, this is kind of trite, but do you think there's a better 5-loss team out there?
Look at who they played. I mean, you talk about our schedule. I mean, they've played Bama. You know, they played Florida. You know,
Georgia.
They played us. Georgia. I mean, they've played some good football teams. And, you know, and they're not the Tennessee of old, and they've got a lot of problems, but they could play offense. I mean, they have a passing game. There's just no question about it. I mean, we were fortunate to win that ball game yesterday, and, you know, that's just going to happen to you sometimes. You're just going to get run into a team that's on, and they were on.
And then kind of a final thought there, that pick that Vic Hampton made right at the end, he had to want that ball, you know? I mean,
that's
a play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll just have to hope when we get to Knoxville next year that Bray, Patterson, and Hunter are all playing on Sundays, so they won't be there. I would like to see that. Mm-hmm. So on the offensive side of the ball, it was really Connor Shaw's day. He threw for, was that a career high in yardage that he had?
Yes, it was.
Career high in yardage. He looked much more under control, and I'm beginning to think, you know, maybe this is a Williams-Brice Stadium thing for him. Maybe there's just a comfort level at home with Shaw, but he did look a lot more under control, looked a lot more decisive than he has. And, you know, hopefully he can play like that for the rest of the year and not get himself hurt, as long as Dylan Thompson keeps straining his tricep while sleeping or whatever happened to him. And I was at my youth game getting ready to coach, and I kept checking, and they're like, Shaw's out, Strickland's in. I was like, Strickland, what in the world? And I think one of you guys had texted that Thompson had strained his tricep while sleeping, and they actually mentioned it on the broadcast. So, yep. Lord have mercy, we need to bring in a couple extra QBs just for, you know, just as a safety net. Let's get a junior college guy in here or something.
Hey, I know a guy that's in junior college that has got some talent, evidently.
Is his last name McAvoy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he threw for about 500 yards last week, I think.
Yeah, one thing, though, I mean, I want to say, you know, about Tanner. Connor. You know, he did play against some pretty good defenses those last two games. I mean, you know, I don't think Tennessee on defensive line is anywhere close to the teams we played on the defensive front, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, yeah. There are still times, though, that you wish he would get rid of the ball and, you know, don't keep the negative plays at a minimum or at zero if he can.
I think he's trying to avoid the big mistake. Yeah. I think he's really trying not to force the ball to make the big mistake. I mean, I think that's been drilling his head, or maybe just sitting on the sidelines watching Garcia for 2 years, you know, make the mistake. So, I mean,
best training possible, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And you know, so anyway, I mean, I think he had a whale of a game.
Yeah.
I said on the way in to several people walking in the stadium, 14's going to have a big game. He's going to have a big game. He's going to have a big game. And he did.
Yeah.
He did. And our credit, the coaching staff, like you did, I think they've created some nice plays for him moving. He does well on the run. A lot of those passes out in the flat, where it looked like he kind of had a run option, a run pass option. I thought those plays were really nicely designed, and he was on the money. I mean, he really was. He was on the money. I mean, rarely did he throw a bad ball in that ball game. The ball he threw to Ace Sanders for the fourth touchdown.
Yeah,
was just
the corner.
Corner route. It was an incredible throw. He just really made some nice throws. There's some other guys I want to talk about on offense as well, but I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, so I'll turn it back to you, the host.
Well, at this point, we're going to send it back to G to talk about other guys on the offense that he was talking about.
You send it back to me?
Right, yes. You're okay. G. Yeah. Well,
one guy, and this is somebody that T-Bone and I talked about after the game a little bit. We had a conversation. Who was just, and I think this is T-Bone's phrase, so I'm going to steal it from you, T-Bone. Justice Cunningham was just a full-grown man in that football game. I mean, just a full-grown man. I mean, I saw the emotion on – you could see the emotion on his body language after Marcus gets hurt. You could tell how upset he was. If you remember, he had a false start penalty right before the injury. And I'm wondering, I wonder if he's blaming himself. Like, if I hadn't have done that, that wouldn't have happened. You know, that kind
would of they have called a different play or something like
whatever.
That?
Whatever. You know, I remember just thinking, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that all of us do when bad things happen. What if I'd done this? What if I'd have done that? But, I mean, he evermore, you know, decided he was going to do his darndest to win that game for Marcus, I think. Because after that, I mean, he was just on. I mean, that play where he caught the crossing route, and we ended up taking a field goal, but his run and catch, and then the run after the catch, I mean, it was beautiful to watch. And he had a couple other catches like that. You know, he was just blowing people off the ball, you know, on the run plays as well. I'll tell you what, that is our unsung hero on offense. That guy, he doesn't get a lot of accolades, but I mean, he is just a solid college football player.
He is another guy that bears to be mentioned. That was good. He was back on because he was off a week ago. Is Bruce Ellington?
Yeah, he had over 100
Ellington
yards.
Looked like he had a different gear than everybody else yesterday, and he was moving around well, catching the ball, looked good.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Cunningham for the game that he played, and I've brought this up in an earlier podcast. He was just another guy in another recruiting class, you know. A few years ago, and I tell you what, he's going to get paid next year. That guy is absolutely going to get paid. And Connor Tapp with Halfcock Show had a pretty funny tweet late yesterday. He said something to the effect that the only people that thought Justice Cunningham was going to have this type of a season were Justice Cunningham and maybe a couple of members of his immediate family. So he is pleasantly surprised everybody, and along with Buster Anderson, G-Man, you said we ought to just move Anderson to just put him at wide receiver full time. The way that he runs and the way that he catches the ball, and it was a much needed good performance by the offense yesterday. You know, if there's a sliver of a pixel of a silver lining to what happened to Marcus yesterday is I'm looking forward to seeing Mike Davis run the football and get some more carries the rest of this year. He is in his limited action, he has looked really good, and he's a good tough runner. He looks quick, looks fast when he gets in the open field, and I will predict that by the end of the year, he will be getting as many carries as Kenny Miles in the rest of the football games this year. Did that make any sense?
No, it did. Okay. I think you're exactly right.
He's going to get a lot of carries.
You know? Right, yeah,
I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And, you know, that's what good football teams do. When they have guys get hurt, they have other guys ready to play behind them who are good players. And you know, as sad as we are about Marcus, we've got to move on, you know. And that's what we did last year. Let's think about what we did last year. The same thing. Marcus goes down, and, you know, we don't lose again, right? And then what happened? Or did we lose? I don't know.
But we lost to Arkansas.
We didn't lose much, okay?
Yeah, we lost to Arkansas.
Right. But, I mean, you're going to see us now get more imaginative on offense, I think. You're going to have to be a little more creative. I mean, you're going to see Shaw running the ball some, which is going to be a little bit disconcerting. You know, it's going to make us a little nervous. But I think he's going to have to run it more. I think you're going to see Ellington in the Wildcat a little bit. Maybe see different combinations. You might even see Brandon Wilds come off the bench, which none of us want to see him burn that red shirt, but you might have to use him. So you'll see the ball coach getting creative, I think.
Yeah, it's one funny. Of the things that's different this year than last year is, you know, obviously the disappointment for Marcus is greater because, you know, he's running out of swings at the ball here in college. But the thing that's, I guess, encouraging is the template's there. You know, we've done this.
Right.
In years past, maybe we wouldn't have been able to recover from the, you know, Anthony Wright getting hurt or something like that. And so, but the template's there. We've done it. We've got the athletes. We can go play ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And G, you bring up, you guys, and this is totally forgotten by everybody, when Marcus got hurt against Kentucky his freshman year and he missed like a game and a half, and we were just awful at offensive football. And the talk was, well, if Lattimore goes down, they are in trouble. They got no chance. Their offense is not the same. And when Marcus went out with a season-ending injury last year, we just turned it up a notch. It was, you know, we really, really played well. So hopefully we can keep playing well, and I think we will, because Connor just doesn't make the mistakes that Steven Garcia used to make. We've got some solid running backs in place now, so hopefully that bodes well for the rest of the season. Speaking of the rest of the season, we got a bye week coming up, which will be nice. We can sit back and relax and watch everybody else suffer watching their teams play. But it looks like the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be going back to the SEC championship this year after beating Florida. I guess they would have to lose to Ole Miss. Is that right? What's the scenario for us to get back to?
The scenario is that Georgia loses to either Ole Miss or whatever other putrid team they still have left to play.
Auburn.
That's it.
The more likely
scenario, strangely enough, is that Ole Miss, who's 4-2 or something right now, that maybe Georgia comes back after this Florida game and gets surprised a little bit by Ole Miss. That would have to happen, and then Missouri is going to have to get really good, really quick, and go down into the swamp and beat Florida. Right. Which, you know, maybe Florida will be hung over from the loss. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. But yeah. And then we've got to beat Arkansas.
I would really like to see Ole Miss beat Georgia. It's going to be painful to watch them go back to the Dome for a second consecutive year, but it will be satisfying to watch them get drilled by Alabama, who I hear is petitioning to join the NFC South next year.
Petition granted.
Get them out of here.
I had a Georgia fan, a friend of mine, who was texting me after the game, the Georgia Florida game, saying go dogs, go dogs, go dogs, and I came back with 35-7,
right?
And he was like, well, are you predicting the score of the SEC championship game? And I said, no, I think Bama scores a lot more than that. That's my answer.
It'll be much worse. Yeah. So elsewhere around the SEC, Ole Miss is actually 5-3. They beat Arkansas, beat Arkansas 30-27 on a last second field goal. So, you know, kind of comforting to see Arkansas lose and not, you know, continue their winning ways as they come into Columbia in a couple of weeks. Missouri did get their first SEC win over Kentucky. Kentucky and Tennessee will play, so one of those two teams will get an SEC win before the season's over. And Vandy moved to 4-4 with a win over UMass. Wow, UMass was 0-8. So good for the Commodores. And then, as we mentioned, Auburn just, wow. I don't even know what to say about them anymore. They got beat by Texas A&M 63-21.
Yeah, whatever it is about the Lattimore injury that makes you question, you know, the higher power or the balance of the universe or the concept of karma. You just look at Auburn and it reassures you that everything is as it should be.
Everything will balance out over time.
Yes.
Yeah. So
the payback is a bitch.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, we're not going to do a This Week in Dabo segment this week. They beat Wake Forest in front of a high school crowd on Thursday night. Good for them. You know, they continue their winning ways. They'll probably be 10-1 when we come to town, which will be, you know, we'll make it even better when we pound the stew out of them. I did want to come back one quick thing, going all the way back to the Lattimore injury, and we talked about one of you, T-Bone. I think you said you've seen the replay like 12 times. Mm-hmm. Why do media outlets, and I say that plural because I'm assuming other media outlets are doing it too, but I know that ESPN continued to show that replay over and over and over again. I thought that people broadcasting these games, and I distinctly remember this, they'll an injury will happen, they'll show a replay, and then they'll come back and say, okay, guys, we're not going to show you that again. You know, I think it's almost disrespectful to the player.
Yep.
To continue to show that. You know, I don't want somebody to see my leg being cracked into a compound fracture. You know, it's just, why do people want to see that? If people do want to see it, there's a whole big internet out there that I'm sure that play, Lattimore's play, was posted within 10 minutes that they could go out there and find it. I'm just baffled that they continue to show those types of things. Is it bloodlust? I mean, what is it?
It's just the media. It's just, that's just what it is now. I mean, it's just sensationalism, the media. Everybody's got to share the story. I mean, it's unfortunate, yeah. But that's just the way of the world now.
Yeah. I mean, the story is him getting carted off with a towel over his head, sobbing. That's the story.
And the Tennessee players out there.
Right. The two teams. Yeah. The two teams out there surrounding him and giving him encouragement and support. But anyway, that's just a me thing. I got this weird thing about these injuries, man. I just can't watch them. I see them once. I literally have nightmares where, you know, people have their limbs torn off in a football game, which fortunately we haven't seen that yet. So, all right. Well, we're going to do, we're hoping to do a bi-week podcast where we'll have a guest or maybe two at some point. So stay tuned to Twitter and therubberchickensblog.com to hear what's going to be going on there. And we hope one of us has a chance to go on a show or two as well. We're going to do some sweeps week podcasting, I think is what we're going to call it. But anyway, you guys got anything else before we sign off?
Well, I thought we might want to do some quick rubber chickens.
Oh, yeah. Wow. See, I told you I was in a fog. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a rubber chicken. Since you brought it up, G-Man, you go first.
Well, I'm gonna hint that one of you guys needs to close with a particular player.
Okay.
That I'm gonna skip because I want to make that the last one.
Okay.
So I'm not going to tell you who that needs to be, but somebody close with the one we need to close with. Okay.
So do you understand that, Buck? Do you get what he's saying? A player.
I'm gonna start though with the guy who made the play to win the game. And that will be Jadeveon Clowney. He's going to get my rubber chicken award. He was bottled up most of the day by this gargantuan NFL future offensive tackle. And, you know, didn't have his best game. He's out a couple series early, getting his foot taped up. He's been hobbled for a little while, last few games. But I don't think there was much doubt in the stadium on that last drive that Tennessee was going to score. And the clock was running down, and I'm sitting there going, should we call timeout? What should we do? I mean, they're going to score. I mean, this is just horrible. Marcus is out. I mean, it was low. It was a low feeling in that stadium because they were just marching down the field, and they just ran a 15-yard run. And I thought, well, they're just going to hand it to the guy three more times, and he's going to score. Clock's going to run out, and we're going to lose. You know, I mean, that's all there is to it. And it was pretty much over in my mind. for whatever reason, you know, they drop back a pass, and Clowney, they don't chip him like they had been chipping him, and he gets around the corner and knocks the ball out of Bray's hand, and Shaq falls on it, and we win. I mean, it was, you know, granted they had the other possession and the interception, but that was the play. That won the ball game. That was the single most important play in the game. Clowney came up big, and it proving that he is probably the best or one of the top two or three best defensive players in America. And if that guy's not a first-team All-American, I have never seen one.
Right on. All right, T-Bone, don't take my rubber chicken
don't
away.
Don't worry. G-Man just said that was going to be a quick rubber chicken and then proceeded to read us unabridged War and Peace.
But,
hey, he's the one with the tennis match in 10 minutes. So
that's true, I guess so. Rubber chicken award this week goes to the Tennessee Volunteers. The entire team, the entire university, the whole organization, everything. And if you know me, you know that I've had a deep and bitter hatred for those guys for a long time. But the class they showed after the moment we'll get to here in a moment went a long way to undo some of those images of Tennessee Volunteers waving the Tennessee flag and taunting our flag, our fans in games past. So I thought it was a classy move, and so I wanted to give them some recognition there.
Yeah, and just, you know, real quickly, I'll mention, you know, there were some early on, there were some people had mentioned that maybe that was a dirty hit on Lattimore, and I don't believe it was. It was an unfortunate hit, and it was a legal hit, but I don't think there was any intent, or I don't think it was dirty. Again, I only saw it that one time, so somebody may be able to replay it back and say, no, here's why it's dirty, but I know that it was legal, and I don't think it was an intentional, but yeah, good call. That was a nice gesture by the Tennessee folks to come out there and support my rubber chicken award, which is Marcus Lattimore. And I really, there aren't any more words that we can really say at this point. I think it's all been said. Through the media, through Twitter, through Facebook, and just all the outpouring for that guy. And he's going to come back better and stronger, and he's going to come back better and stronger, hopefully as a football player, but we know he'll come back better and stronger as a person, which is saying a lot because he's a pretty darn good person to start with. So, Marcus, if for some reason you're listening to us, we love you. And we hope you get well soon, and we'd love to see you back on the football field someday. And I guess that leads us to, but before we sign off, we still need to remind everybody that it's been 1,434 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. Go Gamecocks. We'll talk to you soon.